this great adulterous woman that symbolizes here a wicked church that we've been studying. Remember, in the 16th chapter, we studied the scenes, the events that happened as John witnessed the pouring out of the seven last plagues upon the earth. And this judgment of this wicked church is a continuation of those plagues that were poured out. John said, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials." That is, one of the angels that poured out those seven last plagues, "and talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Now we know that this great whore here represents a wicked, adulterous church. Just as in the 12th chapter, the church in its purity and its truth, as it came into the world, measured by the word of God, was represented by a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet. This woman here is a wicked woman representing a false church that we've been studying that caused so much persecution, so much trial and crisis to come upon the church of our Lord. This, he said, that sitteth upon many waters. You know, the waters here represents people, nation. That is, she ruled over the nations of the world. "With whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." Now we notice here the kings, great men of the earth, had so collaborated, dealt with this wicked church, that their communication and dealing with her had been sinful. We talk about both a physical, a moral, and spiritual fornication, corruption, wickedness that they, in wicked ways they had dealt with. "The inhabitants of the earth had been made drunken with the wine of her fornication." Now we think about a person being drunken as drinking strong drink. But to be intoxicated, there are many things that people can be intoxicated with. Anything that will affect in a bad way our mind. It can be riches, it can be wealth, it can be lust, it can be many things. We can get carried away and our mind be so affected by it we become intoxicated. And he said the inhabitants of the earth had been made drunken with the wine of this woman and her wickedness. "So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns." Let us notice now, he said, he had told him, "Come here, and I'll show you the judgment of this great woman." "He carried me away in the spirit." That is, in the vision of the Spirit, John was carried into the wilderness. That's where we saw the true church go, back in chapter 12, into the wilderness. And it was this beast here, this scarlet beast, scarlet-colored beast, that this woman sits upon, that carried the church into the wilderness. That is, into the ignorance, wickedness of taking the light of the gospel away, and hiding its life until ignorance, superstition, false teaching obscured the spiritual vision until the gospel was lost to sight. This beast on which he sits is the same beast that we saw come up out of the water, out of the church in the 13th chapter. At that time he was speckled. He was spotty, both political and religious. But here, his color has changed to scarlet. It has been changed by the blood that he has shed of innocent people, of the saints of God, of the martyrs of Christ. And she is in this wilderness, riding upon this scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy. having 7 heads and 10 horns. Remember that we studied that beast that came up out of the sea in the 13th chapter that had the 7 heads and 10 horns. In the 12th chapter, the dragon, 7 heads and 10 horns. We said there that it was the Roman Empire. The 7 heads represented the 7 forms of government, beginning with the kingdom and ending with the papal government that now rules over the Church of Rome. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color, and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abominations and filthiness of her fornication. This woman was decked in purple, scarlet, and finery, lavishness of the wealth of her wickedness, and fine stones, pearls, gold, and such like, having a golden cup. I won't stop here long enough to realize, remind you that gold represents purity. This woman had been given a pure cup of truth, but she had corrupted it with the false teaching, deceitful doctrines of her religion, of filthiness, abominations of her fornication. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Now let us notice that word mystery. There's no organization ever been more mysterious than the Catholic Church. It has always been deceitful. It has hidden the truth, the gospel, to the people, holding their meetings, their services, in dead language, keeping the truth away from even their members, belonging to all kinds of secret organizations and secret affairs. And this is referred to as mystery. Babylon, the word Babylon symbolically means boundary, that is, bondage. Ancient Babylon is the city that bound God's people politically and by force. But here, this is a mysterious bondage. She does it not by force so much as by deceit, by false doctrine, by darkness, mystery. The great, the mother of harlots, abomination of the earth. Not only is she referred to as a harlot, but the mother of. That means she had daughters that would be the same thing. What would that be? Since she is a false church, other churches that are false, springing out from it, would still be her daughter, the mother of harlots, an abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints, and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered. Great admonition. There we have that word, drunken again, intoxicated, carried away, her mind affected by the shedding of blood, the greed, and the wickedness that had caused the death of God's saints. John says, I wondered with great admiration. I cannot believe that this verse means that John was actually carried away, that he admired this woman in the sense that he wondered after her, but because of the greatness of the splendor of her so apparent glory, he says, I wonder. And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? It prompted the question, why did you wonder so much after this woman? I tell you the mystery of the woman, and of the beast that carried her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. I'll tell you the secret of it. This angel told John, the beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life, from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast was, and is not, and yet is. Now that language right there is hard for us to decipher, to understand how the beast was, not, and yet is. That government, Roman government, had been once a great power. At the time that John witnessed it, it was in preparation for another power. But at the time, its power was not. But it says, it shall be until it's sent out of the bottomless pit. Remember back in chapter 9, we noticed there where an angel came down and had the key to the bottomless pit. He opened it, and the smoke came out of that bottomless pit. And it beclouded or disturbed the spiritual vision. The people were in darkness. Talked about what that bottomless pit could be. And I imagine that it was the imagination of the human heart, because it was limitless. There was no limit to it. And it originated, out of it originated darkness, deceit, and confusion. In the 20th chapter again, that bottomless pit will be mentioned as a place where Satan will be bound by the gospel of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But here he says this beast will ascend out of it. And he says as a result of it, he will go into perdition, that is, destruction, to be destroyed eventually. They that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names are not written in the book of life. That is, Christians, if their name is written in the book of life, they will not wonder after that beast. But those that are not will wonder when they see when they behold the beast that was, is not, and yet is. Here is the man which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. Remember that word back in chapter 13 in the last verse where it says, here is wisdom, talking about the number of the mark of that beast, the number of a man, the number of a kingdom, and the number of a city. And he said, here is the mind of wisdom. Here is need of wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which is one city. I've heard all my life that the city of Rome was built on seven hills or seven mountains. That may or may not be true. But if it is, I don't believe that is the interpretation of the symbolic language here. Not the mountains that are mentioned, unless it would be a double thing. I believe that its governments, as we have studied and dwelt upon from time to time, that Roman Empire that started in this study with the imperial or paganistic government. It had been five governments before that, beginning with the kings, then dictators, disembarkers, military tribunes, consuls, and emperor. The emperor was the sixth form, but there was one yet to be, and that was the papal government. And I believe that these seven mountains represent seven governments, seven forms of government on which the woman sits, or that is, over which this woman, or this symbol here, have ruled. The woman, now a church, ruled over what had been all the time, from time to time, seven different governments. There are seven kings that represent the ten horns. There are seven kings, no, wait a minute. There are seven kings, five are fallen, that is, five forms of government already have fallen. One is, that was the emperor, and the other is not yet come, that is, the papal. When he cometh, he must continue for short space. I believe that short space there is a relative term, but just why it is put in there. The beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition. The ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings, which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. A relative term there, a short time. Each of these ten kings would receive power from the beast. They would have no power of their own, but be puppets, so to speak, in the hands of this power, this beast. These have one mind, and shall give their power and strength unto the beast. That is, they will do whatever the beast wants them to do. These shall make war with the Lamb. The Lamb shall overcome them. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings. They that are his are called, chosen, and faithful. This gives the ultimate here that he will eventually overcome. But in doing so, many, many of the saints of God have given their lives. They overcome by the word of God. The only way that we can overcome evil. But in doing so, they gave their lives for the truth. But in the end, they will be victorious. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples, multitudes, nations, and tongues. This shows us that it's over kingdoms of the world, over the whole world, that this beast, this woman, this church, this city rules. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, to make her desolate, naked, to eat her flesh, and burn with fire. Now let us notice now here a question. Verse 16 said, did hate her, make her desolate, make her naked, eat her flesh, and burn with fire. But just a few verses earlier in 13, it said, they had one mind, and they gave their power and strength to it. Now what is happening here? They are helping her to do what God intends her to do, for her to do. What is purpose? That he may bring her to down to destruction. The 17th verse says, for God has put in their heart to fulfill his will and to agree, give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. Remember, it was God's will that Christ come into the world, that he suffer, be mistreated, persecuted, and die for the sins of the world. And in the second chapter of the book of Acts, and in verse 23, we read where Peter said on the day of Pentecost that he was delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God. That is, it was God's will that he be delivered to these Roman soldiers to be killed. It's part of God's plan. But the ultimate outcome of it was that he might be a savior to all the world, even to those people that crucified him. But here he says, God has put in these power, in this king's heart, to fulfill his will, to do this woman's bidding, to be ruled by her, to give their power and strength to her, until the words of God could be fulfilled. Remember, he led that effort, eventually she would be destroyed. She would go into perdition. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. You remember back in chapter 13, in the last verse of that chapter, we had the number of that beast. And when to arrive at the number of that beast, we had the number of a kingdom, the number of a man, and the number of a city, all combined. And let us notice here, he said, this woman, which is a false church, which is also a kingdom, is also a city. That great city which reigneth over the king of the earth. And I fully believe that that city is Rome, Italy, that ruled for years, ages of time, hundreds of years, over the earth in such a manner as to take the light of the gospel away from the earth, drive the church into the wilderness, and to cause such spiritual confusion and darkness until men had to come from, you might say, the beginning, when the doctrine of Christ was again translated into living language that people could understand. It took them hundreds of years to come back to the real truth and light of the gospel, to establish the true church upon the earth. Let us study for our next lesson the 18th chapter of Revelation, which continues the judgment and the pouring out of God's wrath upon the enemies of the church.